example. You're right, Abana. Very good. So let's talk about that for a minute. We all know what the square root of 4 is, right? Absolutely. 2. Is there anybody that is unclear or needs some memory refresher on how to find square roots? Because we can, we're going to go over that in the fundamentals class. Okay. All right. So cool. Now, what about this? Very good. Very good. Very good. Very good, everybody. So this will be 2i. And I will be, let's go back over what I means. Remember, the trouble with taking the square root of a negative number is that in the real number universe, that's not possible. To arrive at a negative number after you square it. Because if you square a negative number, you'll get a positive number. If you square a positive number, you'll get a positive number. Negative 2 times negative 2 equals positive 4. Positive 2 times positive 2 equals positive 4. Can't square something and get a negative number. So in the real number universe, that is not possible. So in order to solve this problem, the number 4 has a square root of 2. But that negative presents a problem. So we get around this by assuming that there is a such thing as the square root of negative 1. And we call that I. So I equals the square root of negative 1. So what we are saying is negative 4, the square root of negative 4. Why would we do such a thing? Here's a quick answer that will make a little bit more sense as we go along and we get the parabolas. I know some of you haven't really, I know all of you that I've taught before, you've seen parabolas already. Niger, do you know what a parabola is? Abena, you didn't go over it in too much details. You're going to go over it in way more detail this year. So if you don't remember that much of it, then no worries. We'll go over it. Okay, so now, so we don't need to go, absolutely, it's a conic that's kind of shaped like a U. So let me draw that. Absolutely, Abena. It's like the arches in St. Louis. That was exactly the example that I gave you last year. Like I said, if you don't remember it, no worries. That's the beauty of going over things over and over and over again. So, without going over the process of finding the roots of a quadratic equation, which produces a parabola, we know that we can do it. You may not remember how to do it. We'll cover that later. But for the sake of this conversation, we'll just establish that it can be done, right? When we find the roots of a quadratic equation, that gives us the places on the x-axis where the parabola touches. Let's say this parabola it touches the x-axis at x equals negative 6 and x equals positive 6, right? That means we found the roots of this quadratic equation and we solved for it. We solved for x equaling positive 6 and x equaling negative 6. Now, check this out. As you all see, not every parabola touches the x-axis. A parabola can touch the x-axis up to 2 times, but it doesn't necessarily have to. It doesn't have to touch it at all. Might tell the parabola to touch the x-axis. Parabola might say, I don't want to. I don't like the x-axis. There's no rule saying that it has to. Of course, I'm personifying it. So what happens when we factor these type of equations that produce these types of parabolas? What happens when we solve them for 0 and we find the roots? What we end up with is imaginary numbers. Imaginary numbers help us determine the location of parabolas that don't touch the x-axis. And there are many, many, many other applications of imaginary numbers.
Can I ask a quick question? So when you're finding imaginary numbers for a parabola that doesn't touch the x-axis, are you basically, you're just, the imaginary numbers are just determining or guessing what, where it would touch the x-axis if it did?
Yes, it still gives you information on the general location of the parabola. It doesn't touch the x-axis, so to say, but when you get parabola, but when you get imaginary numbers and when you get complex numbers, they suggest other things.
Okay, right. But basically, what I'm asking is, when you get the imaginary numbers for the parabola that doesn't touch the x-axis, what exactly do those imaginary numbers tell you about the parabola since it doesn't touch?
Well, let's take an example. I'm actually going to have to save that example for another time because it's 3:30 and that explanation is going to take a minute. But that question is a good question, and the answer to it is quite long. Let's wrap it up, y'all. So in general, we've covered real numbers. We've covered imaginary numbers. Inside real numbers, we have integers. We have natural numbers. We have whole numbers. We have decimals. And we have numbers that can be rational or irrational. And remember, this is based on the word ration, which means to split or to divide or to separate. So remember your definitions. Hope you took good notes. Go over them, and we'll pick up Monday. Let's all go into the public conference room, and I'll see you.